jam. Hello again and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on Twitch. Yeah. In case you've forgotten, we record Monday Night Magic live on twitch.tv/themanapool.
On Monday night of all nights.
Oddly enough, yeah. So this is, I have to look at the screen, Monday Night Magic number 618.
Yeah.
Which we figured out just a minute ago.
Numbers! There's too many of them.
And I am Chewy, and, no, that side. Over there is, Squee.
Hi, I am also here. On the internet.
I think you dodged the wrong way, but that's okay.
I dodged the right way.
More people listened to it, so they didn't get to see
it. I was covering for you.
They didn't get to see the joke anyway. So, you might notice the lack of clues. That's because where's clues? He's up a mountain, let's say.
We need to come up with random things for him to be doing when we don't know.
It's like he's skydiving in Bel Air.
He is skydiving and spelunking at the same time. It's very dangerous.
Oh.
He is actually diving into the earth. It's terrifying.
So like cave diving?
It's like cave diving, but you still jump out of a plane to do it. It's really impressive.
Let's hope Jen decided not to go with him. But,
she probably tried to talk him out of it, and he probably did. I imagine they probably just went somewhere else and did something else entirely.
So, in theory, Clues will be back next week.
Yeah, as long as he's not like Danville or something, like, should be fine.
Or West Virginia.
Ew. It's a real state, but ew. If I haven't made fun of your state yet, please write in, and I'll find a way to make fun of it.
So, as we know, this is, episode 618, like I said, and this is the Pro Tour episode, because Pro Tour, wait, what was the actual name of this episode? It was Pro Tour 25th anniversary, right? Yeah. Like, that was the name.
None of that M19 nonsense. This is 25th anniversary.
Yeah, which was a Team Trios constructed Pro Tour, which is apparently
a thing.
The first, I think it's the first Team Trios constructed Pro Tour ever.
Probably.
I think. There was a Team Unified constructed Pro Tour back in, like, Ravnica or something, and all the other Team Pro Tours, I think, were limited.
Probably. Team Pro Tours are not a common occurrence. The fact that we don't know normally doesn't mean anything. But in this case, given we have to, spend time 4 times a year talking about these things, not remembering ever talking about these tells me it's been at least several years.
Yeah, the last Team Pro Tour was... Sorry, when I say Team Pro Tour, just pointed out, there was a Two-Headed Giant Pro Tour, too. Yeah, one. But it was also limited.
Yeah, that's true.
But the last Team Pro Tour was in 2011, and there hasn't been one since. And I spent a good amount of time today trying to find out why. Like, officially, why? And I found all of the announcements from 2011 about Planeswalker points and all of that, and they just never said, by the way, we're not doing Team Pro Tours anymore, in any of those announcements, and that's all I could find about Premier Play changing and all of that. You remember that? We had to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. That part I remember.
So I don't know if they just forgot that they used to do Team Pro Tours, or if they decided... I can't remember when they decided that they were going to do just standard Pro Tours or any of that. I have no recollection of that on a timeline, so.
I mean, I remember there was a period of time where standard was the big focus. And I think over the last few years, they've learned that standard is a focus. But based on all of the cross-format events that we've seen, standard is not the most played format of Magic at the moment. So maybe they're adjusting by doing other stuff and being more inclusive of modern.
But lots of people, just to jump ahead slightly, have been saying that they really enjoyed the Team Pro Tour and that they really enjoyed not having limited at the Pro Tour. Because Pro Tours have been split format for a good long while now.
Several years, yeah.
And I'm wondering, I want everyone to make a note that after this one Pro Tour, everyone wants more Team Pro Tours and everyone wants less limited. So make a note so that when people start complaining that there's too many Team Pro Tours and not enough limited, we'll have a frame of reference.
Yeah. I suspect that people are really hyped about this right now. And then when they realize that it's a lot harder to deal with the logistics of a Team Pro Tour and to prep for a Team Pro Tour when you don't have a team, but anyone can theoretically do well at a few events and make it to a limited pro tour, it'll shift back in the other direction. But although that is the pendulum of Magic.
Now that we have the team series thing going on.
Yeah, that's true.
It makes it easier for people to find team, for people that are already on a team to find a team to go with.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Now that we're trying to sportize ourselves a little better.
So, yeah, anyway.
It's not just an e-sport if they're doing it in person.
Isn't it?
Pretty sure it's not.
It was pointed out in the chat, it's all fun and games until you watch the same three decks in Standard for 3 days straight. Yup.
So, Standard. Standard.
So, let us
summon the Pro Tour.
Yes. So, let's go to... Boom. Oh, check us out. Now we're over here.
Whoa.
So, this was...
I look that way now.
Pro Tour 25th... Thank you, Wizards website. 25th anniversary.
I hate that drop-down thing so much.
It's so annoying, because you don't even have to get up to it. You just have to get close to it, and it just pops up.
It predicts need and decides, no, you will look at menus.
But then if you want to get away from it, you have to go like halfway down the screen. It's really annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, Pro Tour 25th anniversary was won by Hot Sauce Games. Alan Wu, Ben Hull, and Greg Orange. So let's see. Remember, this is Team Trios, so there's one person playing Standard, one person playing Modern, one person playing Legacy, which means that trying to go in-depth on this is impossible.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know...
You have a specific weekend metagame under specific circumstances where two decks can carry a third deck further than it should get, and likewise, one deck can pull back two decks that should be going further. So, we normally say don't just base the results on the top eight, but in the case of team things like this, especially cross-format team things, you really can't. So, we can talk about what won, and but by no means dig too far into it.
Exactly. It's the same as for any Star City team tree is constructed. We'll just tell you what they're playing and go, huh. Because you can't really derive a metagame out of this. No. For the reasons that Squee just stated. So,
like, your metagame will pop up in a week or two when some single format events happen with the data from the Pro Tour. And we'll talk about those when we get there.
So Alan Wu was playing Death and Taxes, and I keep having this issue with my eye.
Is it Death or is it Taxes?
In this case, I think it might be Taxes.
Oh, good. As long as you don't break a rule.
Okay, I think I'm good. What did I just say? Alan Wu was playing Death and Taxes
Death
in Legacy.
And Taxes.
Wait, what's a Palace Jailer? Oh, yeah, the Monarch guy. Okay.
The Monarch guy.
Ben Hull was playing Hollow One. Still trips me out that that's a deck. And Gregory Orange was playing a blue-white control deck with Torrential Gear Hulk. And, well, I mean, it's a blue-white control deck.
Yeah. It had to fight Chain Whirlers to get there.
Teferi. I was like, wait, where's Teferi? Legendary
Planeswalker. He's a legendary Planeswalker.
So that's your first place team. The second place team was Josh Utter Layton, Ben Stark, and Martin Juzo, which that's a hell of a team, if I do say so myself.
Yeah.
Utter Layton was playing the blue-black...
Hey, God, I gotta sneeze.
Shadow. As in Death Shadow.
Whew. Okay, complete no, I don't have to sneeze.
Zombie fish.
Yeah, Blue Black Death Shadow with, yeah, Zombie. Hell yeah, Zombie Fish. In Legacy, Ben Stark was playing Kurt Clan Ironworks in Modern. And Martin Jesus was playing Red Black Aggro in Standard. Get used to that. You'll probably be hearing a lot of that.
Chain Whirlers, you say. In Standard?
What?
How could this be?
So, let's see. In third, is this third place? Yeah. Marcio Carvalho, Carlos Romão, and Thiago Saporito are in third place. Carvalho's running Death and Taxes in Legacy.
Gasp.
Right. Saporito is running Humans in Modern. Ooh, with a Resto Angel. Nice. And Romão is running, Red Black Aggro in Standard. What? And then finally, fourth place, rounding out the top four, Christophe Gregoire, Branko Nerink, I think, and Thomas Vanderpelt. So let's see. Eldrazi Stompy in Legacy.
What makes it a Stompy deck versus a normal Eldrazi deck?
I was just wondering that. Maybe that's what they named it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because Eldrazi Mimic costs 2, so it's a stompy deck. I honestly don't know.
I mean, I understand the entire thing of stompy is just big thing hit you, right?
Like, sort of?
We've come up with different names for that over time, but...
I don't know. We got Humans in Modern, complete with a militant... What did we call Militant Burglar?
Is that what we... the Bugler?
Yeah. The Militia Bugler. And then... White, Blue, GPG. What the hell's... Oh, Godfarer's Gift. I'm like, what the hell is GPG? It's right there. It's Godfarer's Gift.
Did it have a Bugler?
In Standard. Did it have what?
Did the Mono deck have a Bugler?
Branko Nearings did, yeah.
Why can't I read right now?
It's the very last creature on the...
Oh, because, yes, I am dumb. Cool, okay, carry on.
As long as you're dumb.
Like, legitimately, I was looking in the middle. I think I was looking at all the Meddling Mage Mantis, and I'm like, but M's go together, and that's not how these lists work at all. So, I'm just stupid. Carry on.
All right. He's just stupid. Carry on. So, I mean, that's your top four. Like, we're done already. Yay.
That was fun.
Now, if you want to know more about what's going on in the metagame, then we have a standard metagame breakdown.
Break it down.
With red-black aggro being 40% of the field. Steel Leaf Stompy is 19% of the field. And then from there, it's sort of...
Those two together make up 3 out of 5 decks?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, then.
Dang! But yeah, we've got some nonsense, man. Reservoir Combo. Really? Turbo Fog, which we'll talk more about in a short while, I'm sure. Some Approach, some Constrictor. Mono Blue Artifacts. That's a thing I didn't expect.
Yeah.
Godfarer's Gift. There were only 2. And one of them made the top 4. Look at that.
That's a pretty good rate.
Yeah.
50% of the decks made it to the top 4.
Oh, wait. That's the White-Blue GPG. There's another Soul Tie one further down.
Mm.
One more.
Well, that just kills the whole record. Burn the cards. It's useless. It's never good again. Sub 50% win rate. It's terrible. And I know that's not win rate. Sorry. do not tell me that later. I understand. Hyperbole.
Hyperbole?
The Hyperbole is my favorite Lucio Ball variant.
Thursday, man. So you around on Friday for Lucio Ball?
Should be.
Sweet. Sorry, the new summer event in Overwatch starts on Thursday for some reason instead of tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we will be streaming Lucio Ball on Friday.
Yeah, gotta get my Wave Race 64 D.Va skin.
That does look pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there's your standard metagame breakdown for Modern. Now, this is just what was there, by the way.
Yep.
This isn't, you know, what made Day X or whatever. This is just everything.
Yeah.
In Modern... Modern is much flatter. We've got Humans at 16% of the field, Blue-White Control at 11, Ironworks Combo at just under 10, just over 10, Mono Green Tron at just over 10, and Hollow One at 8. And then from there, yeah, it drops off. Oh, there's also the Black-Red Vengevine deck at 6% of the field. After that, everything is like 3.5 or lower,
right,
which means 6 decks or lower. But there's still a lot of them, like a lot.
It takes a lot more Modern decks to hit 3 out of 5.
Yeah, it does. Because Modern.
A healthier format.
So, I wouldn't say that Standard isn't healthy, but it's a smaller format, so you're going to get more bunch up,
yeah,
right? Yeah.
That's fair. A smaller road's going to have more congestion.
Tell me about it. And then in Legacy, which is even more flat, we've got... Yeah. Grixis Control at 20 decks, which is 12% of the field. Sneak and Show at 16, which is just under 10% of the field. Eldrazi Stompy, still don't know what that means, at...
Stomp, stomp.
8.5%. Death and Taxes at 7. Teemer Delver at just under 7. And then from there, it drops off. But
yeah,
it looks like there are fewer numbers of decks. Like, if I start here and get page down, that takes me to there. If I go back to Modern and start here and hit page down, I have to hit page down again to see the rest. So yeah, there are more different decks in Modern. I don't know why that matters, but it's just the thing I wanted to talk about. So there you go. In case you're wondering how all the formats look, that's how all the formats look.
Now you know.
G.I. Joe?
G. G.I. Joe.
Na-na-na-na-na.
What else happened at the Pro Tour? Well, there's a DQ, which anytime there's a disqualification at a Pro Tour, we get a little article about it.
Ah. Especially in a team format where it means three people go.
Yeah, that's kind of rough. You think they would them like keep playing with a handicap. I'm like, sorry, if either of you lose ever, then you lost that round. Just to give them some hope.
Give them a path. Like,
yeah.
It kind of feels like the thing where the coach punishes the whole team for what one person does so that they're really angry at that person. Well, if you get to the Pro Tour and someone on your team gets in trouble and you all lose, that's an awkward flight home.
So, yeah, Dan Ward was DQ'd in round 7. Now, I'm just going to read this to you and interject as necessary. During round 7, Ward's opponent activated Aether Vial. Ward allowed the ability to resolve, which his opponent used to put a meddling mage into play. Ward attempted to then cast Path of Exile is a PC game. To Exile on another creature in response to meddling mage naming a card when there was no window to respond. Because that's not how that works. During the investigation, Ward argued that he thought meddling mage's ability was a triggered ability upon entering play. It's not. However, after investigation, judges determined Ward knew that Meddling Mage was not a triggered ability and that his statements to his opponent and the judges were attempts to undo his mistake of not casting Path to Exile in response to the Aether Vial activation. Now, the comedy of this...
And there is comedy.
...is that his opponent was Chris Pakula, the Meddling Mage.
That guy. The one person you can pretty much be assured understands how meddling mage works.
Yeah, so he tried to... After the investigation, they determined that he was trying to angle shoot to back up and fix his screw-up. Which you can't do, and you can't lie to judges when you're trying to do that. Oh, wait, no, that was my bad. So, yeah, apparently, chat tells us that Craig Wesco was on his team. So that sucks.
Yeah. Awkward flight home.
Yeah. Because, you know, Craig Wesco is one of those good guys.
We've had him on the show. He's nice.
Oh, yeah, we did once, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so that's terrible. And apparently, according to social media, this guy has, let's say, a bit of a reputation on shady things and angle shooting. But then, that social media and any... body who gets any sort of anything like this happen is suddenly going to develop a reputation for that on social media. Yeah. So
I do not go to social media for information on the character of a person.
No.
That doesn't end well for anyone.
God, no. So yeah, but like the comedy for this is doubled, not only because he was trying to do this with a meddling mage while playing against Chris Pakula, but Chris Pakula has a long-standing reputation of, like, rooting out cheaters.
Yeah.
So it works on so many levels.
It kind of feels like if someone were to write the Onion-style Magic article that would then get repeated over and over again, we'd be like, oh, yeah, that probably happened.
Yeah.
Sarcastically. But then it turns out it did.
Yeah, Chris tweeted later, I had a very on-brand weekend, playing both Anteri and Bertoncini, two people that are also have the cheater's reputation, you know, due to, well, cheating.
Cheating.
Plus the Dan Ward thing. It's very on-brand for Chris. I find that hilarious. So, yeah, that's that.
Mm-hmm.
What's this? Here are the metagame breakdowns. Now, the other big thing that happened at the Pro Tour 25th anniversary was the Silver Showcase, where lots of people got butthurt about the Silver Showcase, but we talked about that already, and we don't care if your butt's hurt. So it turns out that the finals were Stan Sifka and Amaz, and spoilers, Stan Sifka ended up winning. So, sweet.
Yeah.
I watched some of the draft on Thursday before we started the podcast, and it was entertaining at the very least, but I didn't watch any of this Pro Tour or Silver Showcase because, you know, I got stuff to do. But it might be the case where I actually go back and watch some of this, because
I appreciate having the clips right here.
Yeah. Like, when I see that Pestilence was winning games, I'm like, ooh, that makes me so happy.
Got that little nostalgic tingle.
Oh, yeah, and Ann Pext in the chat just pointed out, Amaz ran Shivan Dragon in his deck with two mountains, which, that's ballsy.
I mean, you just need both of them, right? Shivan Dragon's just that good.
Yeah, I mean, it was a limited bomb before there was such a thing as limited, so...
Yeah.
I watched him draft it, too. He snapped it. He was like, that's mine!
And, yeah.
And the commentators were like, he's not running red.
He is now.
He is now.
My favorite thing is that Shivan Dragon is a fire-breathing card that really wants to reward you for running a lot of red, and he's like, 5/5 evasion? I'm in. I'll do it.
Sold.
Got my two mountains out? It's a 7/5.
It's a 7/5, yeah.
Yeah, that's why red's fun. Good time.
MTG Dad says, Gen Con also had a beta draft this weekend. A Mox Jet and a couple of dual lands were opened. Cool.
Okay, so all of these events this year are digging open beta and, like, unlimited packs and stuff. How many of these still are there?
That is a valid question.
I mean, I knew that there were some in collections and that WotC has like a pile of them and probably in a vault under the dragon in the lobby because it's just where you keep your treasure.
I mean,
but they can only do this for so long, right? Like, there can only be so many of these events.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
So, if you happen to be in a position to play in one, do, I guess.
Yeah, get on it.
And if you can't, wait till we talk about Magic Online later. There will be a callback.
So yeah, that's the Silver Showcase. Congrats to everybody for all of that. It looked like a lot of fun. Yeah. So, what else? Hang on, let me put this back on this and go back over here. Oh yeah, the Nexus of Fate thing. Right. So the Turbo Fog deck. That there were six of at the Pro Tour, I think it said.
Yeah.
And apparently, results, standings.
Here, yeah, there were six of them. You're correct.
Yeah, but I want to see where. Oh, I think one of them finished in fifth.
Correct.
So yeah, the Turbo Fog deck that has been that was running in at the Pro Tour had Nexus of Fate. The Corset 2019 promo as a four of.
Yeah.
And so, of course, the internet has exploded. All the people who were decrying, this is what's gonna happen, and the buy box promos are evil, have come out of the woodwork to point fingers at everyone who said they weren't bad. And apparently Magic is dead. Yes.
Long live Magic.
So I just, let's go to somewhere else and look. I looked it up on one site earlier, and Nexus of Fate had not spiked anywhere near as high as I had expected, given all of the people losing their mind.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like $31 there. Hang on, I'm just gonna go look at several sites real quick.
While he does that, I'll point out to you that if you're thinking, oh, wow, that card's going to go somewhere, I should go buy it, don't. As your friend, I'm telling you this, don't do that. If this is one of those things that's going to have a crazy, like, booming up forever financial value, you've already missed the boat.
Yeah.
Once a stock starts rising, you don't buy it then. Like, that's not how it works. So just chill and wait for this to level out a little bit. If you decide you want the card, just have it. I would probably still wait a little bit. But I can't really give you financial advice because I don't think Magic is a good financial decision. So there you have that.
I'm looking at a bunch of websites that sell cards.
Yeah.
And the most expensive one I found, I'm not going to name, but... it really shouldn't surprise anyone. was out of stock at $45.
Okay.
Everywhere else seems to be between 30 and 35. And I just checked 5. So that's not bad at all.
Yeah, I'm not going to make too many decisions on the pricing of this until another week's gone by.
But you'd think it would spike right after the massive finish at the Pro Tour, right? Like, that would be where it spikes really, really high. And where all, because there's so many people, like, doomsaying about BioBox promos that I figured it was at, like, 80, 90 bucks.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's at, like, 30 or 40. And there's one deck that plays it, and it's a fairly skill-intensive and miserable to play against deck. And we've had this many weeks.
Yeah.
It's 1 week of results. It could be that that deck was just really well-placed in that meta.
It was also played by a team of people who were really good.
Yeah, it's true. It was also a, a team Pro Tour where, you know.
Like, just straight up looking at this, like, it's a Pro Tour, so you already know the players are really good and operating on a higher level technical skill than most people have. But it's also a case of, it's a, you know, niche control deck going up against people who probably didn't test against it. So, yeah. The real test of time is going to be after it goes to a just standard tournament and places well in that.
When is the next standard GP? The next standard GP is... Hang on. August 10th. Next weekend. Yeah. This weekend.
That sounds right.
We've got.
It's usually the week after the Pro Tour.
Yeah, we've got Orlando and Brussels.
Okay.
Yeah. But, if we go back to Pro Tour Standard Decks, Control F Nexus, Francisco Giorgio. I don't know him. Burp. Li Shi Chan. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Raph Levy. Oh.
Yeah.
Benjamin Rubin. Oh. David Williams. And Yam Wing Chun. So all of those names that I know are pretty high profile.
Yeah.
Just saying. So, yeah. Now that I've looked for myself to see what the prices are, I don't understand why people are losing their mind.
I think it's something that people have already decided they don't like, and this is the evidence that they were looking for. And so they're rolling with it. We talked about this back in June when the announcement first came out. So, you know.
Yeah, what did you say? 610?
610 was the episode.
Yeah.
Like, the short version of it was, I was a little hesitant with it because I think that whenever you put the ability to take extra turns on a card that doesn't go away, let alone one that shuffles itself back into your library, you create a scenario of infinite turns. Yeah. Like, if you dump your library and you just have that, you're just going to take infinite turns. And the fact that it's an instant is also very good. But I thought that was a little much, but I also am sort of the mindset that you have to decide if these buy box exclusive cards can get past a certain threshold of good. Because if they can never be good, then there's no point to them. And if we're afraid of them being good at all, then we are 100% against this entire premise. And so, like, what can you do? Like, there's not really a winning scenario there. Short of saying, we just don't do them at all, and then we go back to buying our boxes online and not getting buy box promos, and local stores don't get that money.
Yeah. So, if I remember correctly, Clues is absolutely against the buy box promos just in...
Yes.
At all.
Philosophically, he is against them regardless of the quality of the cards.
Yeah. I think they're a brilliant idea because of driving the business to local game stores. And as long as Wizards doesn't screw up and print something that's amazing, then it'll be fine. Bill said, I'm with you, but this one is too good. That was our stances.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And this one is a 4 of in a standard deck, and yet the price is still under half of what Flippy Jace was. Flippy Jace was in lots of decks and was in packs. People are like, well, if you put it in packs, it won't. It's still...
Flippy Jace overtook Mind Sculptor Jace for price for a time period.
Yeah.
And part of that was because it was used in every deck that ran blue, and some decks ran blue to include it. This kind of card requires an entire deck around it. You're not just going to casually throw it in your control decks, because it won't work in those decks. It is specifically in an I'm taking all the turns and my planeswalkers are going to ruin you deck. And yeah, like as noted in the chat from Pinball Witch, Flippy Jace is also going to see play and did see play in other formats, which was a big factor in its price.
True.
This card, to my knowledge, hasn't seen play in other formats. We'll have to keep an eye out, maybe, but honestly, for 7 mana, have you not already won the game with your blue deck and Legacy?
But, like, the complaint people are using is that it's, if they print a good card, then supply and demand, the price will spiral out of control. It's $30. I don't see the problem.
I think I'm more concerned about the fact that they can't add more in circulation to address the immediate need the way that they can with just other, you know, cards are in packs. You open more packs, it sort of evens the price out over time. This is like being, you know, it's a bit heavy rhetoric, but this is like having a card that's on the restricted list in standard because they aren't making more of them.
Yeah.
But, and we'll see. They might make more of them. We'll find out what happens. But for right now, there's a set number of them, and they're theoretically all in circulation.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if the price spikes. Like, this one card being too good for a BioBox promo does not invalidate the concept of the BioBox exclusive card, like, at all. It might violate this particular card. It's like, whoops, we made that an instant. Or, whoops, we made that not exile itself.
Yeah.
So, but I don't... All right, headset. But I... One card being good enough to appear in standard, and thus the price shoots up a little bit, like, doesn't... It doesn't mean anything.
With a sample size of 2, this could be an outlier, or this could be the nail in the coffin. But we have a sample size of 2. We'll see what they do in the future, and I would wager that they're probably going to dial it back a little bit.
Oh, probably, yeah.
In the future, especially now that they've got an entire team of people whose job it is to make sure the set plays well, separate from R&D. Like, they have people that are going to be playing this extensively, and I'm sure there's some amount of testing that went into this, and maybe the card was pushed a little bit more just to see what they can do with it, but of all the times that we've said that Wizards doesn't care about us, they've done a pretty good job of showing that they do. So I'm not going to sweat it, and I wouldn't be surprised if this card found its way into, you know, another set coming out or a peripheral product just so that they could get around that. And it would probably have different art or not be foil or something so that the foil ones are still special. But I suspect if this is actually an issue, it will be a short-term issue between the oncoming rotation and their ability to solve problems in one of their millions of peripheral products a year. I will note that I did hear that there were some concerns that because there was a finite amount of them and available in Magic Online too, that was a problem. But Magic Online is a much easier thing for them to fix. And
yeah, which they already have.
That later too. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a moment.
But like when you say there's a shortage of this card on Magic Online, so the pros can't test. Oh, well.
No, that's weak sauce.
Yeah, no.
I'm not buying
only,
that.
Literally only the pros care about that. That doesn't matter for the purposes of these conversations.
The pros have the luxury of being able to just make their own, you know, stand-ins for those cards and play them in person. Or playing online, just acknowledge that, okay, that's the weird outlier, and we'll have to figure that out during the hundreds of hours of testing we're going to do. Like, they're pros. Like, if anyone's capable of fixing this without that, it's them.
Yeah. And it was also pointed out in the chat that $30 for Nexus Fate means that that's $120 for the set for your deck, which is still immaterial because you pay way more than that for 4 cards in other decks.
That's in line with the Planeswalkers on the deck with it.
So, you know, whatever.
If you want to make the argument that standard decks cost too much, that's an entirely different argument. One that's been going on for at least a decade. So I wouldn't sweat that too much. Now, I will say that if you're in a part of the world that maybe has availability issues due to limited local game shops, that might be a more interesting line of reasoning. But since most people buy their cards either at their store or online, it's probably a more limited one, at least in the U.S. I don't know how that affects other countries.
Yeah, I don't know.
And on that level, I would be interested to hear about it on Twitter or something, because that might be a bigger problem. But again, let me know. I don't know enough about that to make any definitive statements right now.
Bozo, we're spending a lot of time on this because it's all, like, social media has exploded. Because
this has been the topic of the last 4 days.
And I, like, the sky's not falling. It's not the end of Magic.
I don't know, dude. Clues isn't here to check it for us.
Oh, God. I heard something that sounded like thunder earlier, but I'm pretty sure it's just my idiot neighbors. But
could be.
But anyway, so yeah, we're spending a lot of time on this because people care. And I always try to take like the calm, not insanely reactionary response to things like this, which is calm down. And I really legitimately thought it was worse. When I looked up prices and saw it's like $30-$40, I was like, is that all? What?
I remember getting a message from you over the weekend where you're like, man, worst case scenario, Nexus of Fate in the Pro Tour. And I'm like, oh, huh. And my first reaction to it was, oh no, Turbo Fog, that's miserable. And then a few seconds later, I'm like, wait, that was the special card. Oh, yeah. That's awful too. So yeah, when I went to look it up, I was expecting it to be at least in the $80 range. Because that's just how people react to stuff like that.
But the main thing to remember is this was a Pro Tour, and it was 1 week. So calm down.
Yeah.
We've got two more standard weekends coming up, I think, in a row. Did I close it already? I did. Crap.
Probably. At minimum, we've got two standard GPs this coming weekend, so we'll see how that works in practice.
August. Yeah, and then next weekend we have Providence and Los Angeles. Wow, they're both in the U.S. That's weird.
That is weird.
I mean, they're at opposite ends of the U.S., but still.
I mean, it is a continent.
So yeah, we've got 2 weeks of standard in a row. We'll see how it shakes out. It's possible. I will say this. It is possible that Nexus of Fate will skyrocket and I will have to eat these words. But I am perfectly capable of admitting I was wrong.
And I'll tell you he was wrong, too. Yeah, like, he doesn't get a pass.
I was wrong about Nexus of Fate not being standard playable. I admit it. I was wrong. I was like, it costs 5, shuffles back in, meh. But then people are playing a Teferi deck where the goal is to grind your opponent out in game 1 and then, you know, don't eat lunch. So, clearly, Magic players are monsters.
And before you tweet at him, he knows it costs 7.
What costs 7?
Nexus of Fate.
Yeah, what'd I say?
You said 5.
Oh.
5 would actually be
5 would be super standard playable. What the hell?
You wouldn't make that mistake, which is why I'm saying you know that. You just said the wrong number.
Thank you. Yeah. I was like, yeah, it costs 5.
I'm sparing you 7. That.
Damn it, now I'm doing it again. Anyway, right. So let's get off of Nexus of Fate. You said, if it turns out that it skyrockets up to $80, $90 in the coming weeks, I will say, I'm so sorry. I apologize. You guys were all right. But that still doesn't mean the BioBox promo concept is bad. It just means this card was a poor execution.
Yeah. We'll see. Like, I think we'll be okay for these because I think they will dial it back a little. I do think the one spot where people are going to be really sore about it is if they ever make, like, a Planeswalker that doesn't suck and put it in a BioBox, because people also just like Planeswalker cards.
Yeah.
And they've been printing crappy Planeswalker cards that aren't available in the packs for years without anyone caring. But, yeah.
You all right?
I think so.
Oh, okay. There's a weird type of audio thing. Okay.
Oh, maybe Magic died. I don't know. I mean, I guess we were due.
So, jeez. So, I think that is all of our Pro Tour news and stuff. All
right.
So, a reminder, the Comic-Con Walkers, the Planeswalkers, go on sale on the 13th of this month.
Yep. It's next Monday.
Do, 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 do. Item will be available for purchase 8/13. Yeah. Apparently, the set of 5 is $91.99. The link is still in the show notes and has been since we announced it the first time.
Yep.
So, this is your last reminder, because by the time we record next week, they'll probably be gone.
Yeah.
I really don't see these lasting, you know, months like the last
I don't think these are going to sit around like that bolus poster. I think they'll probably go away.
Yeah. Okay, then. So, if we go back to this, boom. The next thing is, apparently, MagicCards.info was acquired by Scryfall. Which is really weird. Like, oh, you can't see it here, but right. Okay, for those of you watching, you can't see my mouse.
Can you highlight?
Oh, there's now you can see my mouse. That's weird. So,
right above here,
where you can't see because of the way I've cropped it, is a bookmark for Scryfall that I never use. I always go up here and type in MagicCards.info.
Yeah.
But, apparently Scryfall has acquired MagicCards.info, so they're going to use the MagicCards.info database to make their site better. And yeah, magiccards.info will start redirecting to Scryfall.
Yeah.
So there you go. The two big databases that aren't Gatherer are now one.
Are now one.
So yeah, there you go. That's pretty big, I guess.
Yeah. If you need to look up what a card is, and we know you're not going to use Gatherer, now it'll be slightly different.
Yeah, I used to use Magiccards.info to find card images, because their images were better than Gatherer's images.
Yeah. So honestly, I haven't liked Gatherer since they moved to the current incarnation of the website.
Yeah.
It's never been a perfect search engine, and there are other things that did it better. So here's one of them. Enjoy.
According to the chat, the Magiccards.info creator posted on Reddit that he threw in the towel. He said it was a hobby that he didn't have time for anymore.
Okay, then.
Which is understandable, yeah.
I appreciate the fact that if they're stepping out, they decided to give it to someone else who's going to presumably do a good job with it.
Yeah. I mean, people have been telling me forever that I should start using Scryfall instead of Gatherer. That's why I have a bookmark. It's right next to, here's the Gatherer bookmark, and here's the Scryfall bookmark. But I always go up to the URL and type in Gatherer, and if Gatherer is being stupid, I type in magiccards.info. Because, like, when I was making videos with Magic, and I need a picture of a card, I would go to magiccards.info, because they're, like I said, their images are just better than Gatherer. So,
yeah.
I never used
it. Seem to have more versions of things available, too.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Which is helpful.
Like promos and whatnot. Yeah, Gatherer has none of that.
Yeah.
So, should be good.
Yeah.
There you go. Moving on. Hey, you remember that they do that plane shift thing?
That's what I've been told.
Yeah, the plane shift Dominaria is finally coming out. Apparently, James Wyatt is, like, doing this at, like, in his spare time or something. So that's why this one was delayed so long, because he had other stuff to do. I didn't realize
that. I mean, is that other stuff the Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica?
I have no idea, but
I would suspect that that probably took a little more time.
It just trips me out.
A PDF and a hardcover book.
That, like, all of these plane shifts have been done by someone in their spare time at work.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't someone's job to do this. That's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw, like, I think it was on Twitter, where he was like, hey, it'll come as soon as I can get it done. Like, okay. So, for those that don't know, this is a, I actually don't know what this is. It's a D&D Dungeons & Dragons, like, supplement that uses magic stuff.
Yeah, so when you're playing in role-playing games, like specifically D&D here, there are a lot of books that are put out that are simply more things you can use in a campaign that you're already running. A lot of times it's, hey, cool equipment or cool feats or spells or skills or, well, probably not skills, but other stuff that you can mix in. And they've been releasing some of these if you want to put a little bit more magic in your game, like Magic the Gathering in your D&D game. And considering they're going to be releasing the Guildmaster Guide to Ravnica as a big book later this year, I suspect some of these things that have just been leaking out, like this one, not leaking, but being released, will probably have a little more to play with. So if you've been having fun with D&D and you want to mix it up a little bit, this is something that you may be able to find something cool to drop in.
Yeah.
It's the wonders of Wizards of the Coast owning two of your favorite things.
Stark said it gives you new class options and world building details for campaign stuff.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah, and
it's
apparently,
like a toolkit, essentially.
It's got stats for Homerid as a monster.
Oh, well, that's
so
funny, too.
That makes everything better. At least I think it was just a monster. I didn't think it was a player race. But I don't actually play D&D, so I'm just talking with stuff that I've seen in my Discord server.
You can just go straight look at this PDF if you want to know more about it.
Very true.
Like, it's there. You don't have to buy it.
Yeah, link's in the show notes. There's a click to download right here. Boom, there it is. I'm not going to click.
And if you don't care about D&D, you get a whole lot of cool art. So that's fun, too.
In the PDF?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, dude.
I mean, they put pictures in it.
Hang on. Okay. Now I am going to open
it. Do it right now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was just boring text.
No, this is laid out like a D&D book.
Dude, this is actually sick.
Look at that big old crab.
There's a crab? Where's a crab? Oh god, there's a crab.
Yeah.
Look at a crab.
Fun times.
Well, now I have to scroll through the whole thing. Is that a Yeti? What is that? Oh, it's a rampaging cyclops. Okay.
That's kind of like a Yeti. In that it's big and has less eyes.
There's a spider. Hang on. Keep scrolling. Yeah, so yeah, there you go. That's really cool. And Kavu stats. That's really cool.
Neat. Yeah, they've been doing these for a little bit, so I guess go look at it. Enjoy.
Yeah. So, all right. Now we go... Wait, is that everything?
I think that's everything else.
Okay, everything else is Magic Online.
All right.
So we go to Magic Online. Hey, look, Nexus of Fate update.
Yeah, because they can fix that problem.
Yeah.
Could probably just read it since it's short. I'll read it. You've been talking a lot.
Okay.
So, update, Nexus of Fate. When the mechanically unique Nexus of Fate was introduced to MTGO via Treasure Chest, we set the relative drop rate too low for accessible play. To address this, we will be increasing the relative drop rate for this card for the next 2 weeks. After August 15, the relative drop rate for Nexus will be set at a rate where we believe will give players sufficient access to the card. This change is already live and will affect any treasure chest opened between now and August 15th. Information on this and all other contents of treasure chest can be found here. Link. There you go.
There you go.
They are adjusting the circulation in the meantime.
It's amazing how easy it is to change things in a digital whatever thing.
Yeah. Which is nice. So get on that if you want to get your online Nexus Fate. All right. Moving on down. So I mentioned last week that they were going to be doing some kind of announcement for Magic Online. And it turns out that announcement was the mid-year update. And the mid-year update, for the most part, it's patting themselves on the back for nice things that have accomplished. Like, hey, look, the set actually came out in line with the other set. We had our pre-release stuff in line with the pre-releases, or in some cases before it. That's awesome. There is an acknowledgement that in order to make that kind of stuff happen on the regular, some supplemental products are lagging a little bit further behind. So
a little bit.
While they got the sets out in time for, you know, the standard Magic set releases, some other things like, you know, Commander, Battle Bond, Conspiracy, and like, are taking a little bit longer. So they prioritized.
Yeah, in the daily update, Battle Bond will be available on Magic Online when Guilds of Ravnica comes out. And Commander 2018 will be available when December.
Yeah.
But you got real sets early.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I think they prioritize correctly.
Yeah, it depends on what you want. So for everyone that's complaining, man, we don't get Commander until... Well, yeah, but you got Dominaria before anyone else, so shut up.
Yeah. And for all of the people complaining about not being able to test certain things in Magic Online, you'd have a much bigger problem if they would release the Commander stuff before they added the standard sets.
Yup.
So here we are. There's some other stuff in here. Like the other main announcement, though, is that they're going to be doing Chaos Drafts. Specifically, Chaos Draft Phantom Draft League. Draft.
What's a Chaos Draft?
Chaos Draft is where you get three random boosters and you draft.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and because it's digital, they can do that without those concerns I mentioned before about tangible product.
About that's running old. Out of beta boosters, yeah.
Yeah, and because it's Phantom, they can do this without costing a fortune, because you don't actually keep the cards you draft.
Yeah.
You just win play points and other stuff. So, specifically play points that you can turn into other stuff.
That's pretty cool.
These are just neat.
It says a totally random booster pulled from Magic Online's history with some slight curation.
Yeah.
I would love to know specifically what that means, just because I bet it's funny.
without anyone telling me what that is, I'm going to assume that the curation is we took out some cards that don't work in Magic Online, / are bugged and known bugged, or not every set ever has been released in pack form in Magic Online. So if the card has never appeared in a cube and never appeared in a master series, it's probably not in, and therefore the packs may be adjusted accordingly. I don't know, but that's just my guess without more information. So I'm sure there will be more discussion of that in the future as this thing kicks off. But that's cool. So if you're looking to play this other stuff, then check it out. And then past that, scrolling down a little bit, they're just bragging about how short the downtimes have been. Which, yeah, that's a pretty substantial shift going from, you know, essentially down to a third of what it was in 2015. So
yeah, this is great. The number of scheduled downtimes in 2015. There were 38.
Yeah.
In 2016, there were 30. In 2017, there were 19. And in 2018, thus far, there are 13 with only 5 left.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if this graph is for...
This is including their estimates for the rest of the year.
Oh, okay. So a 13 total. Yeah.
They're expecting 13 total by end of year.
You remember when downtime was just every week?
Yeah, it was just weekly. It's
and
just
people
what they did.
Just hate, what was it, Wednesday? Tuesday? What day was downtime? It was Wednesday, right?
I think it was Wednesday.
Yeah.
I think it was usually Wednesday. Yeah, because they would add in the new stuff for the sets coming out on Friday, but you couldn't actually do anything with it until Friday. But it did create those weird legality situations where if something was a reprint, you could play it before in standard because of the downtime. It was dumb. Oh, and yeah. So they don't do that anymore. But imagine that, 13 in a year when you know 4 of them are a set just came out. So that's kind of insane considering the amount of progress they've had.
Yeah.
So all in all, I think Magic Online has crawled a long way from when people were making fun of the fact that it couldn't launch a tournament without crashing and all the other problems that it's had over its long history. I'm glad that Magic Online is working out. So that's good.
That is good.
They've put more effort into making it work, and it does. I don't play a lot of Magic Online myself, but back when I did, I would have been much happier under the current circumstances than the ones where I actually was playing it. So, awesome. I think that was about it. Yeah, other stuff coming up this year is that they're redesigning the play lobby to eliminate some confusion and get players into games faster, but they don't have a lot of details on that yet, so...
And you know, other small gameplay improvements.
Yeah. I hope that means that we get more funny glitches that involve your monsters attacking you, but I doubt that's what they're going for.
Oh, this is brilliant. We're also exploring the best way to split the game chat and game log for players who just want to play Magic and not interact with their opponents. That sounds brilliant, and I'm amazed that that's not a thing already.
Yeah, it feels like that should have been a filter a long time ago. I like the idea of, I don't want to hear this person talking smack, I just want to see what's going on in the game. Maybe that's one of those inherited from Hearthstone things. I don't actually want to hear them talk about my mother.
I see so many screenshots of from Magic Online of people that just bitch and moan and salt and jerk face and asshole that...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm amazed that you can't just not...
It feels like that would have been a feature log. Implemented a long time ago, if only because some people who use it are under 18. Like, seems like there'd be some of that already, but here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we had the Magic Online announcements, which were the Battle Bond and Commander cards. Yep.
The ones that you had earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's...
And this is bringing most cards from Battle Bond.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's missing or why, but... Because I'm not going to compare this list to the cards in Battlebond, because I don't care that much, but...
Yeah.
Most of them will be in Treasure Chest when Guilds of Ravnica comes out in early October.
Okay.
Yeah. And the last
thing... Yeah, I think this is one of the perks that they have to going to the Treasure Chest system instead of what they did before, where you just straight up won packs. Because it meant that there were a lot of products whose things weren't represented online well, because they couldn't just give you packs of it. The Treasure Chest thing lets them do a little bit more of that.
Yeah. Seems good.
Yeah.
So the other thing was the new gauntlet is the Pauper Gauntlet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The decks that will be in the Pauper Gauntlet. So let's see here. How does this work?
What, for gauntlets? There
are 11 decks and you get one randomly, yeah.
Yeah. You're given a random virtual deck that you don't get to keep the cards of.
Yeah.
And you get paired up against other iconic decks and you play.
So the Pauper decks are, is it Delver, Boros Midrange, I looked at these earlier, they fascinate me, the Inside Out combo, where that's Tireless funny. Tribe is the win.
That's so funny.
That makes my head hurt. Hey, we've got judges in the chat, explain this to me. There's a note here that says, if you discard cards to Tireless Tribe, which, for those that don't play Pauper, discard a card from your hand to give it +0/+4 until end of turn. So you discard cards, and then you cast Inside Out, which switches the creature's power and toughness until end of turn. Why does discarding cards suddenly pump its power?
Oh, I could tell you that.
I mean, it doesn't say... I guess that's implied in the rules somewhere.
So the way that it works is its stats are all determined, and then it applies the flip.
Okay.
Like, it's just the order that things happen. So no matter what its stats were, like, as you're building it, the Tireless Tribe goes, you know, 1-1, 1-5, 1-9, 1-13, whatever. And then the last thing that it does is flip them around.
Gotcha. So, yeah, everyone is saying in the chat, it's layers, layers, layers. So, say no more. It just trips me out that, like, in earlier versions of things like Inside Out, it would say that, you know, in the long templating of older Magic cards, that things that affected the power would affect the toughness now.
Oh, yeah.
And vice versa. So, but that's just a part of layers now. Got it.
Yep.
Freaking layers. So, let's see. Moving on, we've got elves. Because... why not? Mono black control, complete with Gary, Merchant of Asphodel. Yeah.
I wonder how Gary's doing.
Burn. I mean, apparently he's doing well in Pauper.
Pauper.
burn, because duh. Lightning Bolt was a common, so you have to have Burn. Stompy, because duh.
Yeah.
Five color Tron.
That's funny.
Which this hurts my head in a variety of ways.
Pauper Tron.
Dimir control. Which, it's running Zombie Fish and Mole Drifter, so I'm in. Did that... oh, I forgot Chainer's Edict was a common. In, what was it a common in? It was a common in... Vintage Masters. There we go. Okay. That's ridiculous. Affinity, because screw you, that's why.
I mean, that's what it does.
And Bogles. Freaking Bogles. Because, yeah, both Rancor and Armadillo Cloak were commons at some point, because screw you, that's why.
Yeah, the Master Sets do an amazing job of adding a lot of powerful cards to the common slot.
Yeah. So, there you go. Those are your 11 decks that you can play in the Pauper Gauntlet. Go have fun playing with all these Mythic Rare commons.
Welcome to a world without Planeswalkers and Board Wipe. Enjoy.
Huh. So, is that it?
I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the usual Magic Online wrap-up is that most of the stuff gets posted at the beginning of the week on, like, the Tuesday, Wednesday. And since we're on Monday, all this news is what we found out last week. So if you really want to keep up with it, you should go to the Wizards website and then go to Magic Online under products Tuesday, when they'll announce whatever else happens.
People in the chat are pointing out that actually Rancor and Armadillo Cloak were commons when they were first printed. Yes, we know.
Oh, yeah, we're aware. I was just making a more general statement about how Pauper works.
Yeah.
All of the Rancor I have are commons, I think.
Don't will actually us on our own show. What's wrong with the people?
This is the fun of being able to interact with the chat a little bit. Yeah, one of my first decks was a Rancor deck with Enchantresses and drawing my deck. So, there you go. I don't have a lot of street cred, but I at least had that going for me. Then I played Dark Depths before it was good. Not before it was cool, before it was good.
Was it ever cool?
I mean, I'd argue that it's cool now that we have Thespian Stage.
Yeah.
You know, it's, banned in Modern before it was a Modern cool.
I'm more of a Vampire Hexmage guy myself, I'm just saying.
That's understandable. That was the first time it was viable. No, for me it was, I'm going to animate this land and Fate Transfer the counters off of it to make my Mirror Leash. And to work for it.
Sick.
I mean, I did it. It was fun. Then Mike stole it. Mike's the jerk.
Damn right you did. So
I was like, steal target creature with converted mana cost 2 or less. I hate you so much, Mike. I hate you so much.
That was in Charlotte at the GP. I remember that.
Monster.
Because I walked past, I think I walked past right before that happened. Or right after it happened, and you were looking, so what's wrong? And Mike's like, look what I did.
No, that was the time when it went the other way, where I stole his thing. He did this to me years before, but yeah, I guess that was payback.
I remember you two were sat down and played some Commander at GP Charlotte.
Right.
And yeah, somebody stole things.
Yeah, I stole the artifact that's a real pain to put in there and then makes a whole bunch of mana when you tap it. I forgot which one it was. But I stole it after he, like, tapped out to do that, and then I used that mana to dump a bunch of Planeswalkers and ruin his day.
That was it, yep.
Yeah, because I took it with, I took it with Dag Fade.
Dag Fade. Greatest theme in the multiverse.
The red-handed thief. But no, like when Mike did this to me, that was back before there was a hex mage, when I had to put a lot of effort into it. He took it with like that stupid Drake that steals something cheap. Sucked. Good times.
Anyway, so
yeah, that's a fun tangent. I guess we can wrap up then.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinAbob. There's no I in Goblin, probably because I don't even have a good place for the I to be this week. I mean, maybe it's still trying to track down the $6 million copy of Nexus of Fate that someone claimed was out there. I don't know. Maybe it's hanging out with Clues. That's a good point. Yeah, the I is clearly with Clues right now, and it's not telling me where it went either.
Clues is not on vacation.
We're going to find out tomorrow that it was up against Meddling Mage and, you know, got DQ'd as well. Like, whoops. That eye gets into all kinds of trouble. But if you want to find the rest of me, I will be at Dragon Con at the end of the month because I go every year because I'm crazy. So if you're going to Dragon Con, we should totally hang out and go into the secret food court that's still open on Friday before there's a crowd, before the much busier food court on Saturday where you're just doomed. Just you're not eating anymore. But we'll hang out. It'll be fun. Past that, I've just been burning through a lot of audiobooks lately. It's been a lot of fun. I enjoyed the Dresden Side Story audiobook. I think I talked about that last week. I started playing Mass Effect Andromeda a little bit more again, and I'm enjoying the game. So people can criticize it all they want. I'm really having a lot of fun. So, yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. And then today I started listening to the audiobook for the most recent His Dark Materials things, the newest one, the first of the Book of Dust trilogy. And it's been fun so far. It's kind of fun to dive back in, even though it hasn't been that long since I read the last ones. Cause I'm like, oh yeah, that world where, like, you know, your soul's on the outside and it's a shape-shifting animal. That's cool.
I gotta get me one of those.
A soul?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't gonna bring it up, but you know, you look good with a soul.
Thank you.
I think you could make it work.
Yeah.
Have you considered getting on a soul train? That might be how you get those.
No, dude. I hated soul train.
It's because it meant the cartoons were over.
Yeah,
right?
Because as soon as you saw the cartoon train, that meant there were no more cartoons. Yeah.
It's done, yeah. Saturday's over. Saturday's over and it's only noon.
Guess I'll go outside or something. God.
I mean, I went outside a few times.
Yeah.
Good times. Anyway, Clues isn't here, so he doesn't get to say his stuff. Go Chewy.
Random discard at La Cluse show notes. There.
Yeah. Something, something, hate miracles, blah, 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 the top has stopped, blah, 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 get off my lawn, something, something, disgruntled teacher. Okay.
All that sounds good.
Danville bad.
Danville All right, go for bad. It. So, if you would like to hear more of me, then go check out The Mana Pool, where we record every week here on Twitch on Thursday nights.
Thursday.
Yeah. And I don't know what we're doing this week. I meant to send an email earlier, but I was working all day. So last week, because I had lots of drives, because, you know, I do that driving thing part-time, I didn't even break 40 hours working on Mana Pool Productions nonsense videos and streaming and whatnot. Before
you are fired. I am taking away your insurance.
Yes. Before we started Monday Night Magic, I was sitting at just under 20 already this week.
That is a sizable portion of the Sunday-Monday time frame.
Yeah, I think I might be doing it wrong.
Perhaps.
But the reason for this is because I did a set review, sort of, kind of. I hate the set review because it makes it sound like I'm going to tell you what to play, and I don't do that.
Cards.
It was a set. I was literally reviewing the cards in the set of the Boomsday Project for Hearthstone, which comes out tomorrow, or if you're listening to the audio podcast, today.
Now.
Yeah, it was on the 7th. And, I went through, did all the notes, like, took notes on every card, and I'm doing this like I wrote it down, but in a notepad file. And then I did 3.5 hour stream doing it, where my throat tried to rip itself out and run away without me, so I would stop talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had 3 hours of footage, which I then cut into 3 videos and proceeded to start editing. And I finished the last one about 20-30 minutes before we started this show.
Yeah, I remember talking to you about that.
So I'm tired. Luckily, podcasting energizes me while we're live, so as soon as the stream ends, I'm going to be like, that talks to me.
I don't want a conscious.
No.
You're awake.
And it really sucks because I still have to get the damn show put together and out tonight.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I found a faster, slightly faster way to do that, so.
Good.
But anyway, so if you're interested at all in the Boomsday Project over in Hearthstone, then go check out the YouTube channel, which is The Mana Pool, and see what I think. It's got some really good stuff in it. And also there's some Cuphead and Hearthstone games and Slay the Spire. There's some Plague Inc. that'll go up tomorrow. All of that is coming soon on the YouTube channel.
You have a lot of video.
I do, yeah. Like, yeah, I have a lot of headache, too. Popped up in the last 20 minutes or so. It's right here. It's right there. It's not like the headache. It's just a headache.
Mm.
So that's good. Take some kind of drugs. But anyway. Yeah, I stream stuff here on Twitch. 2 podcasts a week and other stuff. On Friday, in theory, we'll be playing Overwatch right here on Twitch. Me and Bill and somebody. Steph hates Lucio Ball, so she probably won't play with us.
Yeah.
We might grab Cap and get the band back together for some.
That's okay. I mean, like, we still need to get our arcade wins with her too, right?
True, but
Lucio Ball counts for those, doesn't it?
Yeah, Lucio Ball is arcade, so.
I told her we could
switch over and play some Mystery Heroes with her if she wanted, so.
Yeah, gotta show off those new skins that aren't Lucio.
But she's also getting her wisdom teeth taken out sometime between now and then.
Oh, she might just be high then.
Yes, so she might not be playing with us. But anyway, on Friday, we're going to be playing Overwatch here on Twitch. Lucio Ball, hopefully. We might even jump into some competitive Lucio Ball.
Yeah, if things are going well. Like, we did it last time and we didn't suck at it.
Yeah. The hamster's already out.
Yeah, we've been playing and failing with the hamster for a little bit. A
couple weeks now?
Yeah, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, something like that.
He's not going to be in, like, competitive for a while, but that doesn't really matter to us.
Yeah, we don't play competitive, unless it's Lucio Ball, apparently.
I mean, Copa Lucio Ball is different because we don't suck at it.
Right?
Like, it's kind of weird. Like, we're not, like, the super amazing people that actually use the jump pads properly or anything, but we're capable of still, like, stomping half the things that we go up against, and then the other half stomp us. So, like, you know, a balanced competitive environment.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get good games that aren't just volleyball.
Just let me get in goal and we'll be all right.
Yes.
But anyway, other stuff coming up. Stanley Parable videos will start going up on YouTube very soon because I played that and recorded it for YouTube. I'm going to be streaming more of The Walking Dead sometime in the near future.
When you don't mind being sad?
Yeah, actually, that is exactly why it takes me so long to do the next chapter, because that game is a bummer. I'm going to be playing some DuckTales Remastered in a stream sometime in the relatively near future, because I wanna. And I finished Cuphead, so I can play other platformers without feeling bad. Yes!
DuckTales Remastered is sort of the NES game, but new, right?
It's the NES game, but with redone graphics and voiceover and stuff like that.
It's still got the old soundtrack, right?
It's not the beeps and boops, but it's the same music.
But I mean, like, it's the themes. Like, yeah, you know, the space theme was amazing.
Oh yeah, the moon theme was one of the best tracks on the NES ever.
Yeah, DuckTales taught me the value of being a rich old man with a pogo stick cane.
Yeah.
So now I have a goal. Just gotta get rich before I'm an old man with a pogo stick cane.
But you have to be a duck, too, so. I saw you holding a duck. That might count.
I'm gonna try. Like, you know, when you're rich enough, everyone will quack for you, right? That all works? That's the one that gets you?
It was the look on your face as you said that. It made me.
What, like, you mean the sincerity of my face?
Yeah.
I'm like, obviously, that's just how it works.
Clearly. Yeah. But anyway, these are all things that are coming up here on Twitch and then over on YouTube, so feel free to come check any of that out. Reminder, as always, if you have Amazon Prime, you get 1 free Twitch Prime subscription. Please give it to a streamer, preferably me. If not me, give it to someone, because you're paying for it. You have it. It's part of the thing you have. You might as well use it to make someone's day.
So, you know how I always forget that I can subscribe until we're doing this? Means that my subscription always runs out during the show. Literally, while you were talking about it, the whole thing jumped over from gift to subscription to subscribe.
Nice.
right now. So, hey, I'm going to click that button.
Oh, well, there you go. I wonder if it'll pop up or if you'll have to refresh and hit share.
I have no idea.
It didn't pop up, so I guess not.
All right, then.
Sometimes when you do that, you have to refresh the stream and it'll there'll be a thing at the top of the chat.
It'll pop up when we're playing later or something.
But anyway, yeah, you can find us all over the internet as the Manipool, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch. There's a Discord server now. The link to that is down in the show notes. You should come hang out. We're a decent group of people. And if there were not decent people, I would throw them out. So
that's true.
We will continue to be decent. And for those of you that are here in the chat live that are interested, there's how you get into the Discord server in case you're interested. So with that, I'm going to be done with all of that. And it leaves me to say, if you want to help support what I do with this insane amount of content creation that I do, then the most direct way to do that is on Patreon at patreon.com/themanipool.
Manipool.
You can get episodes of The Manipool and YouTube videos early. You can get the early stuff and the odds and ends, which is all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and The Manipool that is uncensored and unfiltered and generally unsafe for consumption.
FDA is not approved.
It's true. I usually only edit that for personal information, like when Brian just rattles off his address or says where the kids go to school or stuff like that. I'm like, I gotta cut that.
He's the most capable self-doxer I have ever met.
He's good at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Also, you can get the odds and ends, the early stuff. And if you are feeling extra generous, you can become a Manipool lifeguard, which gets you the shout out on both podcasts and your name on the end slate on all of the YouTube videos that go up that month. So let me thank the following lifeguards: Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Paul David, Lens Delicious, Team U, Helles Har You, Connor Kennedy, John Morris, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Bosco Bretain, Casey, Nathan Hay, Danny Liao, Jason Doan, Cody Buckowing, Jake Jansons, Jason Kaus, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, John Parker, Jimmy Scott, Dan Holm, Bartle, Mike Millerburn, and the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine. Thank you all so very much. I quite literally could not do it without you. And with that, we'll be done with episode 618. It's on the screen. I can just look right there. This is a brilliant invention.
Numbers.
We're going to stop the show now. So thank you all so very much for listening. And go play some magic.